just crowd in on us. So many things fill our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and our moments. But God, it's good to stop. And it's good to remember who you are. And it's so good to lift our eyes and our hearts together wherever we are and to recognize that you are indeed our God and our Savior. You are Lord of all. You are the one who has broken all of the forces of evil. You're the one who's beaten death. You're the one who forgives sin. And God, you are the one who will one day will welcome us into your kingdom, where we will bow together and proclaim how great thou art. And so God, this morning as we meet together, distanced or together in this building, Father, we thank you that you are God, that you are Lord, that you created those mountains and those birds that sing and the streams that flow. And Father, we are humbled that you should still be interested in us. Thank you. And so Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us, your people, this morning. Speak into our hearts, speak into our lives, change us, prepare us. Fill us afresh this week. God, thank you for your presence amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a reading in Psalm 148. For those of you who know your Bibles a little bit, you'll know that this is going to be a praise psalm. It says these words, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them for ever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the nations, you princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord." We're going to continue in our praise as we sing. Father God, that indeed is our prayer, that as we wait for you, that you would fill us by the power of your love, that we would rise up on wings like eagles. Father, this morning we are thinking about new beginnings. And yet for so many people, their lives feel so far from a new beginning. And these couple of weeks perhaps are even more isolating as other people seem to go back into a normal rhythm of life. So many people are far from being at a normal rhythm of life still. And Father God, we pray for those who we know and care about, who are still sheltering, who are still trying to keep away from the virus, whose health, Lord, is at big risk. And Father, we pray for your protection over them. We pray that they might know your love and your presence. We pray that, Father God, that they would know that they're not forgotten and that we love them and that we care for them. And so, Father God, we pray particularly for that group of people who feel so far from a new beginning this morning because of their health or because of their anxieties. Father God, we pray that you would just touch their lives in a special way this morning. Draw close to them. Fill them afresh with the power of your love, that they too might know that sense of rising on wings like eagles, that they too can face tomorrow, knowing that they're in your hands, that they're loved, and that you have a plan and a purpose for them. Watch over them, we pray, Father God, and keep them safe. We pray for those too whose jobs are either very uncertain and they're still furloughed, or for those whose jobs are finished and, Lord, they don't know what kind of new beginning might lie ahead of them. Father, at this time of concern and uncertainty and worry, Lord, we pray that you would absolutely show them that this is a new beginning, a new plan, a new path for them to walk, and that, Lord, you are right there with them. Father, thank you for that lovely picture of footsteps and footprints in the sand, where when things were tough, there was only one set of footprints, but it was because you were carrying people. And Lord, we pray for those whose future is so uncertain at this time, who perhaps have finished university and have no job to go to. Lord, we pray for this group of people who need you to carry them, who need you to direct them to the right door and the right path. Father, fill them with hope afresh this morning, we pray. May they know your presence. May they know that they can trust you with the future and with the path that you are going to take them on. Lord, fill them with an expectation and an excitement to see where your spirit will lead. And we pray that you would meet their every need at this difficult time. Father, we pray for those who are returning to work, or perhaps are being encouraged to go back to their offices, for those who are returning to school or starting at college, for those who have already done a couple of days. Father God, we pray for each one. We pray that you would protect them and watch over them. We pray that there'd be a real sense of excitement as they start a new role, a new job, a new school, a new class. Father, take away their anxieties. And for those parents who are worried about their children, Father, we pray that you would reduce anxieties, and that, Father, each one of us would know that our children are in your hands and in your care, and you are very, very able. And for that, we thank you. Lord God, new beginnings can look frightening, but they can also be so exciting. And Lord, as we hear from your word later this morning, we just pray that we might know a real sense of your spirit filling us, refreshing us, preparing us, and helping us to go forward into this coming week. Lord, thank you for the fact that you are love itself. And thank you that we can trust you, our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Hayley is going to come and bring our notices.
Good morning, everybody. You should have all received a notice sheet either via the post or email. If you still need to get one, please do contact the church office and we will get that sorted out for you. We have got our regular activities happening. We've got our Tuesday prayer meeting via Zoom at 8 o'clock, and also on Tuesday there is Journey Study Group. So if you'd like to join that as well, that's via Skype. The details are on the notice sheet. We have got a midweek Wednesday lunchtime service here in the building at 12:45. If you would like to come, please do ensure that you have booked a place. And that's the same for next Sunday. If you would like to be here at church, please can you ensure that you have booked a place. We do have maximum capacity. Therefore, if you don't have a place booked, we can't always guarantee we'd be able to fit you in. Likewise, if you book a place and for whatever reason you can't attend, that's perfectly fine, but please do let us know so we can cancel your booking, and it might be that somebody else needs that space. And this afternoon we have got Creative Church. That is from 4 to 5 and it's via Zoom. It's going to be a monthly activity for families and children from years 1 to 5 with your parents as well. It's a time to have games. There's There's also a Bible activity, and it's a way of families and children connecting with other families and children, particularly during this time, in a safe way. At the moment, it's via Zoom, so if you would like to do that, please do download the materials and also join the Zoom call this afternoon. If you need any more information, please do contact Hannah. We've had a break over the summer, but our Wednesdays at RBC are going to be starting in 2 weeks' time on the 16th of September. When I finish talking, we're going to end up watching a promotional video, and it's called The Character Course. And it's a way about learning about the key themes of Christian discipleship. It's going to be run along how we did it before. We'll be on Zoom together, we'll have some teaching together, watch a video together, and then we'll break out into separate Zoom chats. And for those of you who have attended those courses, I did as well, found it really helpful, and it was a really good way to actually interact with different people who I might not have normally have done had we been meeting pre-COVID life. So please do join us when that starts, and we'll be watching a video in a moment. And then finally, our prayer and fasting week is going to begin next Saturday. There will be more information coming out this week. However, in the meantime, please do read the information that came out with your notice sheet, and then look out for further information that comes out this week. Right now, we're going to watch the video. Thank you.
Welcome to the first episode of The Character Course. Over the last few years, I've been studying positive qualities of character, like hope, gratitude, love, wisdom. And over the next 8 weeks, I'd like to share with you some practical insights from the Bible and from psychology about how we might develop these things. Starting next week, we'll look at hope, love, forgiveness, gratitude, persistence, curiosity, and humour.
Spirit himself intercede for us, which groan that word cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saint in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who loved him, who has been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, gloriously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you, Hayley, so much. There's been so many people who have been helping out in lots of different ways in the fellowship, and I want to take this opportunity to thank again Sam and Bernd for their incredible work that they've done in keeping us going. Last week there were some problems with the internet, not here but in the whole of central Romford, and so we apologise that the service got broken up last week. But Sam and Bernd, thank you both so very much for your help. Thank you, people like Sam and Hayley and the leadership team who have kept us going over these months. We pray that Ian and Vicky have had a good break, and in a minute we're going to hear the words that God placed on Ian's heart for us this morning. But thank you too for the volunteers who have done things like the food bank that's been so essential. It's good to be a fellowship, isn't it? Even though we are in different places, wherever you are this morning, we pray that God's word will really speak to you. We'd normally say we're going to take up this morning's offering, and in one sense, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to stop. We're going to thank God for his provision, and we thank you who have been able to remain faithfully supporting the work of this church and the fellowship. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for the work that goes on through this place, even when we've been unable to meet together. Thank you, Father God, for Hannah and the work that her team have done with the young people and the children. Father, thank you for the work of Ian and Vicky and other ministers who have served during this time, for Jiddy and for Rich and for Stephen. Lord, many people who have been part of this fellowship. Father, we thank you for the worship team who have continued to meet together faithfully. And Lord, for each person who has continued to give sacrificially. Father, Father, we thank you. And we thank you that you have provided for us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for each one of us. And Lord, as we offer our finances to you, so we also offer our lives. And pray that you would take these sacrifices to be used for your glory, to build your kingdom, that more people might come to know you. Lord, thank you for your love, and thank you for your provision and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare our hearts to listen to God's word, let's worship again through the next song.
And so we come to look at God's word. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. If you've got a Bible, you might want to open it up. That reading which was read earlier in the service. And we're starting to look at it from verse 18. New beginnings. Well, this is a time of year normally when everything starts up again and everything begins its new term. And we know schools are starting to return. And we know all sorts of things are starting to happen. And maybe you remember back to your school days, or maybe if you're a young person, you're still there. And you remember getting ready for going to school. There was that great moment of shopping, wasn't there? Going to get the stuff from the shop that you needed to be ready. And I've brought a few things with me here. Of course, it would always include a new bag. And something to carry all those books in and all the things you need to take in. And then I sort of thought, well, you'd always have a new exercise book or notebook. And maybe you'd have some new trainers. And I did have a pencil case, which I've seemed to have lost at the moment. But, you know, the sort of things that you would have getting ready to go and start the new term and get ready for whatever the new term was going to throw at you. New beginnings. New starts. Well, returning to school or work or into the new term of activities and church life, there's a great temptation, isn't there, to just this year, not to start anything. But maybe now is the time for us to start again to focus our faith on God. In this passage, we start in verse 18, and it says this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The first thing I want to say as we look at new beginnings is the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We spend a lot of time worrying about what is to come. And we think, can it get any worse? Can it get any worse? Can life become any harder? And often we find out, yes, it can. But what we know from the scripture, from Paul's writing to the Roman church, is the best is yet to come. What God has in store for us in eternity is absolutely far better than anything we could ever imagine. And puts all our struggles into some kind of perspective when we think the best is yet to come. And so we are challenged to live in the light of a future hope and glory. That means live with anticipation, live with expectation, live knowing that God has our future and our eternity in his hands. If I asked you to write down a list of the things that trouble you, you probably could come up with quite a list. And then if I asked you to write a list of things that you're really excited about, maybe that list is far smaller. Yet what God has promised us, and God's never yet broken a promise, is that he has our eternity in his hands and that the future with him is going to be amazing. In the words of John Newton, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. That sense of continual being in Christ's presence, continual glory and excitement. The best is yet to come. But we live here and now. So how does that future help us with the now? If we start to read at verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. So, new beginnings. What do we learn from that? Alongside the best is yet to come, we recognize we are secure. We are secure in Christ. We hope we are saved. For in this hope we are saved, says verse 24. We are secure. Security is something we all long for, isn't it? And if you ever have had your house broken into or your car broken into, you know how upsetting it is when you feel something's invaded your space, invaded your personal being. And therefore you start putting extra locks on or alarms to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Paul says, we are secure. We are saved. This hope which we have is what has saved us. So we don't need to live in fear. I have heard so many times said over the last 6 months, I'm frightened. I'm in fear. And often that stops us going out or stops us engaging in life. And as I have said from this stage many times, don't put God to test. Take sensible decisions. That's okay. God's not saying, come on, come out and be silly. He's saying, take sensible decisions. But what he also says is, I will be with you. You are secure. You are saved. And so let's live and go forward in new beginnings as people who are secure in Christ. But the thing we also see in verse 26 is that God is still at work. Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. God is still at work in us. And that sense of the Holy Spirit himself interceding for us, being part of us, helping us in our prayer, in that depth of the real deep things which we do not even know how to vocalize. Goes on to say, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's work. And so God's Holy Spirit in us is working, is molding, is shaping us, if we let him have a space. If we let go of fear and say, okay, God, come, shape me. Yes, I am weak, But the Romans says the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. If we were strong, if we were omnicompetent, we wouldn't need God to help us. It's only through our weaknesses that God comes in and shows us how powerful he is. And maybe sometimes we need to take a step back from thinking we can do everything and let God show us what he can do. Fourthly, we read God is on our side. As we go into the unknown, into the difficult futures, as we go to places we don't know how we're going to go, and maybe your new beginning, if you're a young person, is a new school or a new class, maybe you have a new job or something like that. But we read in verse 31, what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul, having established that God is on our side and God is working through us and working in us and God is molding us and shaping us, Paul is now saying, so don't worry about the opposition, because God is in control. So let's work with him. Goes on about how God's going to bless us. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with all things, graciously give us all things? God is going to really bless us if we let him have that space in our lives. God is going to help us in our journeying, our breaking out, in our new beginnings. God is going to give us all things. And God's going to give us life. And life in all its fullness. Let me encourage you to read, maybe every day this week, the verses between 31 and 39 of Romans chapter 8. Just read it again, and let it absorb into you. Because God is doing amazing things. And I want to read from verse 37 now, as we notice that we will win. Verse 37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Used to be a song sung probably in the 80s, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. And here we have it written in the scriptures. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And now let me just say, have one last look at the fears you have. Have one last look at those things that you feel are stopping you being fully in God's control and God's hands. And then hear these words. This is Paul. Remember Paul, who has been trialed, who's been stoned, who's been threatened with death. He says these, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future or any plans, powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And I want to wonder if you can read those verses for yourself and own it for yourself. Let me read it again. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from God's love, from getting the victory, from seeing God at work in us. And so the best is yet to come, and we are secure. God is still at work in us. God is on our side, and we will win. And because of this, let us break out into new beginnings. Let us boldly go where God calls us to go. Let us express the faith in our everyday living. Talk about the Jesus, the Lord who saves us. Let us encourage hope in one another and remind each other of hope. Let us embrace change that God brings into our world, into our lives. Empower me, people, and enable mission. We are at a time of new beginnings, but we're not on our own. God is with us, and the best is yet to come. And nothing, absolutely nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember what I said earlier in the sermon? Spend time reading Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 39. Particularly focus in on that passage from 31 to 39. What can separate us? What shall we say to in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. No one. Let's go forward with God to victory. Amen.
God's word for us today. Thank you, Ian, for what you've shared. And we're about to come now to a time of communion. A chance to stop. And so if you're at home and you're not quite prepared, please just use this moment to go and get something that will symbolize the bread and the wine. We're going to pause and we're going to thank God for what his sacrifice meant. Hayley.
I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Father, thank you for this time together. Although physically apart, we are one church, your church. And by sharing communion together now, we remember and celebrate we are one. We thank you for the bread, which symbolizes your body broken for us. And with the cup, we remember how your blood was shed on the cross for all the wrongs we have done and we will do. For this, we say thank you. Amen.
And so on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he was sitting with his friends, and as they were together, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. As he broke it, he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This wine is a sign of the new covenant. My blood is shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." And so, as we come now to communion, we encourage you at home or in the church, wherever you are, just to pause, to take this bread and to thank Christ for his incredible suffering and sacrifice for you. To take the wine and to thank Christ that his blood washes away all our sins. Let's spend these few minutes, wherever we are, thanking Christ for his incredible sacrifice. message of hope this morning, a message of comfort and reassurance. Those words, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And as we sung it here in our hearts this morning in the church, where it says, our lips shall repeat indeed. As we leave this place, may our lips, may our lives repeat.